Blessings to all of you this morning. It's been a rich blessing to be here again. The scripture above that song we just sang, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." The last couple months we've been quoting scriptures from our memory work in 1 Peter. And it's been a rich blessing in my life, just helping with some of that and pondering Peter's encouragement, Peter's admonitions, what he has taught us. And it caused me to, the burden for this message, to look at the life and the testimony of Peter. And so my heart today is to go through Luke and read a lot of the scriptures that in trying to see Peter's testimony and his life, and then also going through Acts and ending up in the epistle of Peter. So as you're turning your Bibles to Luke, I will write that title down. Let's all bow for a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing as we continue learning of you, as we continue endeavoring to encourage each other, desiring to grow in you, for you. And Father, as we look at the life of Peter, we ask that you would teach us, Father, to be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in your work. Thank you for the gift of repentance that you have given through your Son Jesus, that we can come to the cross. And thank you also for all the teaching that you have given us up until now. We pray that you would bless today. We commit our lives in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Luke 5, we will be starting where Judas starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them." So Jesus is coming by the Sea of Galilee. And here he sees the fishermen cleaning their nets. "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." So Jesus, sitting there in the ship, teaching the people, and it ended up being Peter's boat, or the boat that Peter was a part of. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And if I understand this correctly, that was one of the most unlikely things to do. In the morning, it was time to go back because they were fishing all night. And to now go out and try to catch fish is, in their mind, probably a stupid thing to try to catch fish in the early morning. after they cleaned the nets. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. So Jesus was doing a miracle right in front of them. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And if you view the beckoning, so the fish kept coming and coming, and the boat started going down, and they started begging that the other ship would come over. And they started throwing in there, and that one started going down. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw this, the two boats sinking because of all the fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's the first that we read about Peter here in Luke. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And the others also, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Peter didn't understand that. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I guess it stood out to me. Some of the other Gospels don't. They just give that Jesus came to Galilee and told them to come, and they came and followed him. But here it stood out to me that actually something was happening, that Jesus was showing his power, and from that, they followed him. Luke 6, verse 12 to 14. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain place, behold, a man. No, that was five yet. Six. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. Whom also he named apostles, and Simon, whom he also named Peter, was the first one that he names here as his disciples, and then he names the others. Going to Luke 9, verse 18 to 20. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? And I'm skipping over a lot of it. I'm trying to get kind of Peter's responses to, so we could read a lot of Luke here, but I'm kind of getting just the parts that Peter was interacting with Jesus, or Jesus with Peter. So here Jesus asks, Whom say the people that I am? And he's referring, I think, to the time that Jesus was walking with his disciples, or the disciples walking with Jesus. And now he is wanting them to answer for themselves who their Lord is. Who do you say I am? But he started it by asking, Whom say the people that I am? They answered. Answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And then Peter was the first one to answer, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Going down to verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. So here he took Peter plus John and James with them. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, And his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So these two men were telling Jesus what he's going to face in Jerusalem in the future. And verse 32 stood out to me this time more than it ever did. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, so they actually fell asleep through this time of transfiguring that happened, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. So they woke up and then they saw the glory of Jesus and the two men that stood there, Moses and Elias. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, and see what it says next, not knowing what he said. So he's not realizing actually the depth of what he's saying to Jesus. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it closed and told no man. Different times, the same phrase Jesus is encouraging his disciples, don't tell anybody what's going to happen. Now we'll jump down to Luke 18. Here Jesus is teaching on money. In verse 18 there, it starts with the certain ruler that came to Jesus and was saying, Good master, and then that dialogue there. In verse 25, For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter speaks up again. Lo, we have left all and followed thee. We have left everything. Our fish nets are back there. Our boats are back there. We haven't gone fishing since you called us. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. That's a beautiful promise. If we leave our parents or wife or children for the kingdom's sake, we're doing it because we're serving in this way, we will receive manifold more in this time and in the world to come, it says. And I don't believe that this is giving that we should all leave our wives and our children and go out and serve because we're serving the Lord. But I do believe that there is something to, if our wives and children are not serving the Lord and we have to part in ways to serve the Lord, not meaning that we should leave them, but we will be rewarded if we continue serving the Lord. Luke 22, verse 7. So here they're coming into the Passover. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John. So here he's asking Peter and John to go prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. So John and Peter went and prepared for the Last Supper. Jumping down to verse 54, after they had prepared. And Judas betrayed him. Then verse 54, Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. So Peter was wanting to know where Jesus is going, where they're going to take him. So he followed after. And I didn't get all the places where Jesus promised that he will deny him three times. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. No, this is actually that where he denies now. And earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. So here we're talking about the life and the testimony. And here Peter could not just tell the truth. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And with the cock crowing, verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And I imagine he turned his head and he looked right at Peter in the eyes. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. He was sorry for what he had done. And I believe God, Jesus truly forgave him. Luke 24, verse 11 and 12. So here it was after Jesus had resurrected, and the women came back from the tomb and told the disciples, It's empty. Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. But what did Peter do? He arose and ran unto the sepulcher and stooped down. He beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter was not satisfied to only hear. He wanted to see. He wanted to know for himself, is this really true? Now we could say he was a doubting Peter, but we could also say that he wanted to know for sure. And he went and found out. Now we'll turn over to Acts chapter 1. Actually, let's go to Acts 2, verse 1 to 15. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana Oh, no wonder I can't match it. I'm a John. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling, and this is the beautiful thing, so there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Jesus showing the filling of the Spirit, and everybody could understand in his own language. Something is happening here that never happened before. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? So here were all the Jews from every nation under heaven, hearing all these things, and knowing that they're from different languages, and they can understand it clearly. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? And others started mocking. And they said, These men are full of new wine. And here Peter speaks again. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And I'm not going to go on through his preaching there, but he clearly stated everything that has happened before and went through and preached the gospel to all these Jews. In verse 21 he says, And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right after this happened, in the very next moments, he is begging all of them to call upon the name of the Lord so that they can be saved. It was beautiful to think that right after the picture of Jesus clearly forgiving Peter because of the power that's coming forth now, after that happened, it would not have happened if Jesus would not have forgiven Peter. But then in verse 37 there, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. After Peter gave a clear description of what the Lord is doing here, they were pricked in their heart, they were convicted, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that was a hard thing for Peter to do because of the way they felt against Jesus. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that reaches down to us today. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. untoward, meaning perverse and crooked. Save yourself from this perverse way that you're living and the crooked way. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Why doesn't it give the exact amount? Why did whoever wrote this write down about 3,000 souls? I'm guessing it was they were baptizing and others came and others came till there were about 3,000 souls that we baptized. Going into Acts 3, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. So they were going to go praying, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And here's the first miracle that Peter and John did, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And that's what happened. He rose up, walked, and leaped. And from that, there was a great stir. In verse 11, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." So the man was so excited, he just grabbed them and held unto them, the way it appears here. "And when Peter saw this happening, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" And then he explains the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, and takes them back and explains to them clearly. And then in verse 19 he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We'll go over to Acts 4, verse 7. So the elders and rulers were together discussing the thing that's spreading among them, how this lame man was healed. Verse 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this healing?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand before you whole.'" It's through the power of the man that you killed is how he's standing here. Because he, that same man, "neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Isn't that a beautiful? There is no other salvation. Verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," they did not take the teaching that a lot of the others were doing. They were only fishermen. "They marveled and they took knowledge of them What did they perceive that they had been with Jesus? Do we know, can we feel, can we see if brothers and sisters have been with Jesus? When Elton was sharing about Bine, do we know that Bine is all excited what the Lord is doing and has done? Because it wasn't by their power, but it was by the power of God. And that same power is here for us today. Then in verse 18 of chapter 4, and they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard. We're only saying what the Lord has been doing. Going over to chapter 5. Here we see the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and there Peter was the spokesperson when Ananias came in, and Peter was the one asking him the questions if they had sold their land for so much, and then telling him that he will, the men will carry him out. And then 3 hours later, his wife came in, and Peter there again was the spokesperson. Going over to verse 29. There Peter answers again. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They did not appreciate that he kept bringing up Jesus' life and the power that comes through Jesus. And they're trying to get this to stop, because here the 120 that were with the disciples were steadfast, and then 3,000 were saved, and they were steadfast. And here they're concerned that they're going to fill whole Jerusalem with their doctrine. In Acts 5, verse 14, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least, at the smallest, maybe Peter's shadow would heal them. Going to Acts chapter 8. Peter's life. Here they were laying hands on people so they could receive the Holy Ghost. In verse 18, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And here Peter speaks and rebukes him. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And it still doesn't work today. If you try to buy your way into the kingdom, it won't work. Or join a certain church because of the money they have, it won't work. If it's not God's money, if it's not God's life that we're living, then he is not glorified. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. I'll start in verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. So he was laying in bed sick for 8 years, and here Peter healed him. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And then he goes over and heals Dorcas, whom they thought had died. And he took her hand, and she stood up there in the end of Acts chapter 9. Then in Acts 10 is the account of where Peter saw the sheet coming down. So God was trying to open Peter's eyes that I didn't just come for the Jews. So the Jews were rejecting, were actually, he had to flee because of it. And now Jesus is trying to get him to see that I also want you to preach to the Gentiles. I also want them to have the Holy Spirit. In verse 34 of chapter 10, then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, after he sees the sheep and all the different kinds of animals, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now we'll turn over to Acts 12 for the last accounts therein of Peter. So here Herod is stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then he put Peter in prison, four quaternions of soldiers, and he ended up, an angel came and smote him on the side and said, come, Peter. And he went over to the house where the others were praying, and then he started preaching again. In verse 17 of chapter 12, or 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But what did he do? He beckoned them with the hand to hold their peace. And then he started preaching again and declaring what the Lord is doing. Peter loved to talk about Jesus and what he is doing. Actually, we do have an account in Acts 15, verse 7 yet, where the elders were sitting together after this account of the sheet in Acts 10. where they were sent because of disputing and arguing over this. They sent some men over to the elders of Jerusalem to discuss this thing, what Peter had experienced, and to know the truth of it all. And in verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. So here Peter, after they had a long discussion and dialogue about this, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And now let's turn over to the Epistle of Peter. I'll just read the greeting there in 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The same Peter encouraging the believers. And then in 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. That includes us. If we have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied, same as he described there in 1 Peter, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So here we looked at Peter in the beginning, when he was called and he obeyed God, he followed him and ended up having all these experiences. And now here he's writing his letter. And as far as I could, the studies I did on when this epistle was written, I believe it was about 2 years before his death, where he was murdered. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And that is Peter's heart for us, but it was his heart for every believer. Jesus had shown him that I am not only looking at the Jews, I'm also looking at the Gentiles, and I want all people to be saved. And Peter was faithful in bringing that message to the people. Verse 5, and beside this, Peter encourages, giving all diligence, he encourages us to add to our faith virtue. And looking that up in the Greek, virtue meaning manliness. You're not children anymore. And adding to that manliness, knowledge. You enjoy learning. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. And to temperance, patience, cheerful endurance. To patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, God likeness, that we become more like God. And I don't think we can exhaust this list in our lives, or I haven't found it that way. I have arrived to, I'm as godly as I'll ever be, or I'm as patient as I'll ever be, because we need patience every day. There's always different situations and scenarios. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Why did he put charity in the end of that list? That covers it all. He could have said, have charity among yourself, and that would have completed all this. But he gave a list. And then he says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound. So in verse 1, he, in the greeting there, all they, to them that have obtained like precious faith. And now he says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they're growing in you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who enjoys planting an orchard and receiving no fruit? Or planting strawberries and receiving no strawberries? This is the very thing that Peter is encouraging us. In the Lord Jesus, there is fruit that Jesus desires to see in us. But the promise is there in 9, but he, or in 8, that we will not be barren nor unfruitful if we do these things, if we grow in these. But in verse 9 it says, but he that lacketh. And I believe that is, we don't desire to grow. We're settled where we are. We don't want to learn more. We don't want to grow. Then we're lacking in these things and we're blind. And we cannot see afar off, and we have forgotten that we were purged from our sins, our old life. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That means we've all been called. We're all elected. Make that calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. This excited me. Peter will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, Though you know them, I'm going to continue to remind you of these things, because he knows the work that it does in our lives by encouraging us again for a reminder. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, he does not want us to lack. He didn't want them to lack, and he doesn't want us to lack. So he will remind them continually to grow in their faith. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. So somewhere Jesus had showed him that he will have to die. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And that's a part that we can be reminded of today again. That encouragement that Peter gave can still be an encouragement for us today, that we grow in these things. For we have not, verse 16, followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. Peter saw him. He was there on the mount with him. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory in whom I am. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard there on the mount with Peter, John, and James, and Jesus, where Moses and Elias came down. We heard the voice, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. Peter's heart is that there is light in everybody's heart, that Jesus' light will shine in all of our hearts if we allow that. Going back to verse 15, where he says, after my decease, he's talking about his death. And with what I said, there are 2 years after this date, or approximately, is when he was actually crucified. The story in the Martyr's Mirror, where he was crucified, but he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus was. So he asked that they would crucify him upside down, because he didn't want to die the death that Jesus had died. In 2 Peter 3, he talks a lot about the end. In his final chapter there, he talks about heaven and earth will pass, but we look for new heavens and a new earth. In the ending there, verse 11 in chapter 3, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Who wants to be here when the elements melt with fervent heat? Anything earthly will pass away. And there's other scriptures we could turn to, but it will pass away. It was a reminder to me again how this earthly tabernacle, the earthly things here, will pass away. Then in verse 13 of chapter 3, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's a promise of better things to come. Then he gives a warning. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Jumping down to verse 17 and 18 in closing. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And I think if we go back to the list, that we grow in grace and that we're diligent and we stir each other up so that we do not lack. Do we love each other that much that we desire to encourage each other and stir each other up so that we don't lack in this growth of life, that the opportunity we have today? But then in 18, he encourages us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing in grace, how does that look? How can we grow in grace? Grace, the divine influence upon our heart, and how can that grow? That was a question I had. If God's divine influence on my heart, other than obeying what he speaks to me and doing what he tells me, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So that's my encouragement today, that Peter lived a life of repenting when he failed, of serving the Lord, speaking up when he needed to speak up, preaching and sharing clarity when it needed to be, but also hearing when God wanted to show him that he also came for the Gentiles. And Peter understood, and then clearly he was an instrument so that we as Gentiles could hear the word of God today. So that bless me in studying, and Lord bless you as you continue reading in Peter's life. There's much more that could have been hid, and there was a lot of scriptures read. So may the Lord be glorified.